My name is Carolina Teresa.
And I'm Melissa Rich.
And this is Hoes with Feelings. Hello, welcome to Hoes with Feelings. We have our first guest, Arden, here with us.
Hi.
And we're so excited.
Hey.
She's an actress, a comedian. She's got her own pod that we're going to let her plug. And we're going to let her plug whatever she wants. She's really, really funny. I've been on her podcast before, and that's how we met. Also through our friend Maeve.
Yes.
And we have an amazing topic we're going to talk about today, which is called Thinking Big.
Yes.
And just in general, we are going to have a really good time because we have...
It's wine.
Our wine.
We have
our
Sauv Blancs. Oh my God, together.
Cheers. Look at that. Whee. This is so fun.
Wow. That was the most Wendy Williams you've ever gone. That was full broadcasting girly. We've never started like that, but that was really professional.
Okay,
for
thank you.
You thriving. You're already thinking big. You're already blue sky thinking.
She's thinking
I'm here
big.
For it. Thank you so much for having
you're
me.
You're our first guest.
Are you serious?
Yes.
All kinds of.
In the
relaunch.
Yes.
In the relaunch, you are the first guest ever in the studio.
First of all, the studio is so cute. Shout out Connor.
Shout out Connor.
Start of the show.
I do have a podcast that Caroline has been on. You're going to be on again on Friday with
me.
Yes,
I am. I'll be there.
Fun.
It's a Bachelor podcast. Right now, you're doing Golden Bachelor, which the nation can't get enough of.
That's really the only Bachelor that has appealed to me. Have I watched it? No.
No.
But it seems really fun.
It's the best
one. And everyone
one.
Loves this man. He seems really sweet.
He's the first Bachelor that's asked any questions. He's a good guy.
He's so sweet.
He's handsome. He's kind. He's fun.
He loves pickleball.
He loves pickleball.
He's a big thing.
He's got like two gals, two granddaughters. He's masculine, but also like in touch.
Yeah. He seems very soft. Yeah.
He's a lovely guy, Gary. He's
Gary.
Got all of his hair.
Yeah.
We love Gary. So it's called Will You Accept This Rose? And Carolina will be on it on Friday. That'll be up on Monday because our engineer is going out of town. So there you go.
They do that.
You got to live. And then I have a couple live shows coming up at Union Hall.
We love Union
Cindy
Hall.
Washington's doing the next one.
Okay, perfect.
November 17th in Brooklyn. And then one in LA called No Autographs, Please at the Elysian Theater December 6th.
Fantastic.
So fun with Meatball from Drag Race and Chris Fleming. So that'll be fun.
Amazing.
There we go.
I'll come to the November 17th.
It's going
to
be really fun. It's
I'll be
me.
There.
It's we have a song about Hilaria Baldwin and
our favorite Spanish gal.
She is our favorite Spanish gal from Boston, Hilary Thomas.
Okay, so I haven't met you before. Yeah. Tell us just like the little give us a brief everything. You're based in LA right now, yeah?
I'm based in LA.
But she's living here.
I'm here for like 3 months.
Bi-coastal.
I rented out my place in LA. I was like, the strike of it all. Like,
yes.
Let's not even.
Yeah.
So I rented it out. I'm an actor. I do comedy. And here I am.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, we were just in LA and we were like, you can feel...
It's a bummer.
The emptiness.
It's heavy.
It's heavy. And I feel in every industry, feel it.
Yeah.
Like just kind of in the air.
Look, it's definitely been not the, which is also why I picked this topic. But it was like, it's been, I think, particularly after coming out of the pandemic for like, I felt like last year the ball was starting to roll again. And then it's like, you know, hopefully it'll be worth it that everybody's drunk. But like, it's weird when basically the whole year has been on pause.
I know. It does feel like another mini COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For us,
a
targeted
COVID.
But for
like COVID. A specific.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's really hard.
Yeah.
A specific community.
True.
But thank God, it's better, you know, thank God we're comedians as well.
Yeah.
Performing live, like, really has saved everyone.
For sure. No, it's been fun. Like, I hadn't toured, like, headlining since before the pandemic. And I already sort of had I already had some dates booked, but it was, like, good. I was thankful for it, like, that.
Yeah.
So it was, like, my first time sort of going back on the road and, like, I was so grateful that I could, you know, like if you
totally
and grateful to have a podcast stuff that like if you're not just even just creatively you're feeling a connection with people, you know, like that's so important, I think.
How 100%. Has it been going? Because I think a lot of comedians, we have the goal of like, you know, you work these streets, these mean stages, these nighttime.
Yeah.
And then you want to get to a point where you just go like not as much.
Yeah.
And then to return, what did you feel like? Is this still fun?
You know, it was interesting. I felt I wanted to do it in a different way because not to be a bummer, but it's also sort of like what made me pick the thinking big topic. But or is that what the phrasing was?
Thinking big.
Yeah. Okay. So like I grew up in a tiny town, like
where
in Little Compton, Rhode Island.
Cute. Little town, little state.
Yes. And it literally is like.
But her mother's from Queens.
Her mom's from Queens. My mom went to Bayside High, excuse me.
Love that.
But she was the one that really. The upshot of growing up in the middle of nowhere, like we had no stoplights, like not, I knew no one, like that there was something.
This fascinates me.
But she was from New York.
Yeah.
So I knew there was a world out there. Mm. And like her only thing for my brother and I was that both of us had to live in New York City for 2 years.
Love her.
Oh my
because
God.
Because she feels like you That's meet, amazing. Like it's a whole world. You can see what's out there. You meet all different kinds of people. Right. You have the adventure. Like, and she raised us to be ambitious, and not in a way that was like grabby, but was like, what's your special thing to give to the world? Mm. And to like go for it and to protect your magic. So like, I remember I wanted to go to like, you know, like I was like, oh, I should go to theater. And she was like, she was like, they're not going to get you. You're too for them. You know, like. Mm.
That's really true because I feel like theater school will sometimes like take the magic out of you and like put you into this role, which is probably why you're a performer as well.
Yeah.
Because you, no offense, we love our actress girlies, our straight actress girlies. Sure. But you can tell there's very little style. There's very little personal
That's
self
right.
because you're trying to mold into whatever character that is not you. We can already tell.
Well, so it was also like the equivalent of like build your own boat. So like, you know, like that the gift of not knowing anybody and the gift of like having limited resources was sort of using my imagination, making like I always like making things. And so like and to that it didn't have to look like what everybody else's was and to go for it. And like that there's no shame in the game to have like a day job. There's no shame in the game. Like so that you're not demanding your dreams like that it's okay to like make money how you have to make money so that you're not like forcing you're not judging yourself based on your bank account of like if your dreams are accurate.
That is important.
Wait, what are some of your day jobs that you've had?
Oh my God, I was like I was an elf at Macy's Santa Land. I worked for my friend's weird dad doing like.
Oh my
like,
God, I could see
I was like a waitress. I was a nanny. I delivered food. Like, you know, like whatever. Yeah,
the standard.
But like, so I felt like there was a certain freedom of like, and I think the world is now like what's cool is with, you know, with YouTube and social media, like that you can make stuff.
Everyone can create. Yeah.
Right.
So, but like it was sort of like go or like or start your own comedy night, like or do so like I do a monthly show at Union Hall, like wherever I go, even coming here this fall, I was like, let me make sure that I like to host things so I get to know people. You create a community. You can share things to let other people shine, like to help. It's not to go get something, but to go kind of like, can you create something that allows yourself? It's the, like the water rises in the harbor, all the boats rise with it. Mm. So like to let somebody else also shine. But like, so before the pandemic, my mom died suddenly. And it was sort of like, I just didn't have it in me to tour. It was like, I don't care like if... Yeah. I don't care if somebody thinks I'm funny late at night. Like, I don't care. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't care. Yeah. Like, there was a lot. Like, my dad, I don't mean to be a bummer. Like, both my parents died.
Yeah. But grief will do that to you. Grief will take.
I had the same situation.
Yes.
Yeah. And I was like, I'm not pressed to do a Zoom comedy show or an outdoor comedy show.
So you lost your parents?
I did. Yeah, my dad right at the beginning.
So my dad died and then my mom died and then COVID happened. And then it was like, the gift of grief is like, I couldn't force myself to people. I couldn't force myself to do shit.
You can't. You lose
cannot.
It.
You can't. Yeah. I was like, I can't.
You absolutely lose that thing that's a part of you. Yeah. I get that. Because I feel like when I am grieving, I just like, I don't care about anybody except for like the family that I have.
Yeah, or like what? See. Who do I want to be? What feels good?
Who makes me feel good? Yeah.
Totally. So like I was like, I don't care if a late night show of drunk dudes somewhere in like Dallas thinks I'm funny or not. Like, I don't care. And so like.
And what a gift.
And like, thank you. So then when I was like thinking about like kind of coming out of the pandemic, I was like, okay, is there a world where I could tour but do it slightly differently? So it was like, okay, let me try different kinds of venues. Like, I can't fill theaters, but like, let me try different. Like, I did some like city wineries or different kinds of things of like a one-off of like is. And so it was so to answer your question, it was interesting. It was definitely a learning curve of. I think the world had changed so much since I toured before. Just
were you doing
with
clubs when you were touring?
I was doing clubs. Got it.
Okay. That's such a, you know, for anyone who's not maybe inside baseball with comedy, it's like, it's such a different experience to perform at the laugh, chuckle, fuck or whatever.
Yeah.
And versus a city winery that where people are coming to see you specifically or like, you know, maybe it's more women focused.
Yeah.
Like, that's really amazing.
Or even a union.
Yeah.
And it's
a
slight shift.
Yeah.
But like, union.
But I'll tell you, or even a union. I'll tell you what's been interesting though. Like, so it was sort of Reels and TikTok didn't exist when I toured last time. And so like, it was also seeing like, if you're not doing the traditional clubs that have their, like the venues that people go for comedy, it was sort of like, oh, it was more a little more like on you to fill them up. And so the actual shows were more fun, but I was also like, okay, so if you, the name of the game has changed, like if you want to be sort of like what you guys are doing with your podcast, like it, like you got to feed the beast with like clips and reels and like of stand up or crowd work or whatever. Like that was sort of, so it was the shows themselves were really fun. It was definitely a learning curve of like, oh, if you want to do that part, I think the name of the game and sort of dreaming big is also learning how to be your own like publicist for stuff.
I know. We're just talking about this.
Talk about this all the time.
Yes.
It's so hard for me.
Okay, me
too. It's something I'm trying, but I have to get over it because like it's what needs to be done. Melissa's so good at it.
You always say that.
She knows how to go to people and be like, here's our sticker.
I've just learned.
We have a podcast.
Okay.
It's called Hoes with Feelings.
That's great.
I'm in the back like this. Like,
okay, so maybe you, because I'm also similar, because I find it very, I just can't. And I actually came to accept that I'm like, I can't do this. So like, I've asked for help from people. Mm-hmm. And it was like, if I was going to do it, I would have done it.
Yeah.
It's not happening. I can't do it. So like, I look at people that are good at it. And I've like, just asked for, you know, there's, just even being like, okay, there's a guy that makes clips for $25 a clip. Like, if I literally just, like, sometimes I can deal, but like, it's like, okay, I can give $25. Like, who's the guy? Yeah. Who's get the best looking stuff? Like, okay, so I can spring for like one a week. You know, you just like.
But if
just,
you're thinking big.
Yes.
And you pay $25 for that clip.
That's right.
What if that sells you 100 tickets?
Well, that's the other,
you know,
thing.
What I mean?
Well, it's also like, it's the cost of doing business. I was 100%. Thinking big of, that was also me going, okay, the reality is the game has changed.
And you have to invest in yourself.
It's adapt or get left behind. And so I hired like two people to help. One does like the clips, like of the comedy clips. And then it's also the reality of like being like a cute gal about town. Like, that's not just comedy stuff.
Okay,
like,
talk about that.
So then I was like, okay, I was like, I need like a 20-year-old girl who like is like aesthetically, like who knows how to do the cute girl shit. Like, I don't know how to do that. So I was like, I put out the word on my podcast. I'm like, I need a 20-year-old. I need a girl.
As
I need
a
like
publicist.
A cute.
Is that what you're saying?
No, to make little cute Instagram shit. Like,
oh,
to
okay.
do like,
to do,
so it's
yes.
like, I don't want just the stand-up stuff. That's also like the gift of social media, which I'm fight is like you are the lead in your own narration. So how do you want to present yourself? So even if you're not having a great day, so I hire this young 20-year-old gal once a week. We make like a cute little video. She edits it and she puts, so I've got like feeding the beast on is what we were saying outside, like is my ladder on the right wall? Like I'm not just a stand up, like I'm also an actor and we're not going to be on strike forever. So it's like making sure that the narrative isn't just like stand up. So it's also like, okay, what's some other thing?
Yeah.
And that's true. What's unique to you? Like, so that it's, and for me, I think I was worrying so much about like the marketing side of when I was touring that I think it was taking up so much time because I didn't know how to edit and I didn't want to do it, but I was trying. That is like.
That happened to us, I think, with this podcast.
Yeah.
When we first launched
we first
it,
yeah.
we got our own microphone.
That's right.
We got our own little computer.
And it takes your day.
And we were trying to figure out how to make the sound
That's
work
right.
and
yeah.
all of this and that. And it just wasn't the best quality. Yeah.
That's right.
And it wasn't a reflection of us, I don't think.
Yeah.
But we were trying because we really wanted to do
it. And the tech stuff.
And the tech stuff.
Well, also, it's stuff that would take us an hour.
That's right.
Takes Connor 4 minutes.
Two minutes.
So there's no reason. How did you find Connor? So
that's, for one of our friends who also does her podcast here, Pooja.
Well, that's what I'm starting to, again, so like if you have to have your day job or whatever, whatever your financial situation is, it's sort of like, okay, so I was spending so much time making these reels, trying to sell these shows. It's like, because I don't know how to do it. Nor do I really, if I was going to figure it out, it's like, it's just not my forte and it make the cringe for me. But like, if I do it with somebody else in the buddy system, I feel like we're making something. If I'm hiring somebody, she's thriving because she's good at it. She feels good. And like, I'm giving her some cash and this guy, like, that I can outsource. So it's like, so I'm not wasting all my time doing something that's like, what's the bigger picture here? Like, so it's not just, I'm not trying to become an influencer. Like, what's what do I want
to
do?
I'm trying to become an influencer.
Man, I'd be delighted if I were. I'd be thrilled.
I'd love to be an influencer.
You'd be so good
but
at it.
I just, like, don't have the discipline.
This is the dichotomy of Carolina. She's like, I hate self-promotion. I hate, take a picture of me. Take a picture of me here. Yeah. Take a picture of me here. You know what I mean? Like, she will self-promote. I think
to
when
myself.
To yourself. And when you, like, that's why I was trying to shift in LA when I was like, even more so than you taking cute pictures, what do you believe in more? Like your cute pictures or this podcast? Like this is a good
I think you get both. I think both, but
I'm just saying, like when you're scared to self-promote like a project that you believe in, I think that's like some sort of like limiting belief almost fear of success.
Oh, I like it that.
Okay, I hear you with that, but what if it's just that like
of course. No, I'm not saying that.
Like, shy.
Okay, wait, let me
feel like...
And that's fine.
So tell me what happened. So what went down in LA? Like, what happened?
Literally, this was a weird one-off night. This is not how we're promoting the podcast. Yeah. She's just obsessed with talking about this night.
Okay.
Essentially, I was at a bar and I was bored.
Okay.
It was not cute. The music was not good.
Yeah.
I was not having fun. I was like, this is a fucking business trip. Let's give some girls some stickers. And she, like, thinks it's, like, the most insane thing that anyone has ever done.
No, I don't think it was insane. I feel like you're not hearing me. I said, you're good at it. You were great at it. And I was like,
she's
impressed
amazed by it.
Yeah.
I think that there's been like just times in my life. I've done a lot of man on the street work. I think maybe it's a broadcasting thing. Yeah. I am not that afraid to like go up to a stranger. And I think honestly, that's journalism.
Yeah.
Because like I'm used to approaching strangers.
Yeah.
And like the thing is like nobody, or maybe this is, you know, my ego or whatever. I'm like, nobody doesn't want to talk to me necessarily.
Yeah.
Right. Or nobody's like, get the fuck away from me. And if they were, I'd be like, okay, not that one. She's not one of our girls. I don't know.
So how are you helping? What's your dream for the podcast and how are you helping get it there?
I think our consistency is big.
Yeah.
We've both put like a lot of energy and resources in.
It's hard to do a podcast.
We struggled with like being more disciplined and being more like consistent. And I think this time we have like that common understanding of like we really are putting our effort into it.
Yeah.
We're putting our money into it. We're putting our like
and
pretty much.
And collaborating. Okay. So collaborating.
Well, it's so much more fun to do it with her too.
Well, collaborating like, is the best. And it's hard to find people that are equal, that are the right creative and equally invested. Like it's like,
and
it's
the
like
timing was
the
right
magical elusive quality. Like my favorite thing to do in the world is collaborate. And it's really, it's like lightning in a bottle. And then it is like the work of like the fun of starting it, but then like the nuts and bolts of like just like keeping at it.
Yeah.
Totally.
But also dreaming big of like what's the goal,
well,
you know?
That's what I liked about when you picked this. I was like, when you said like switching from survival mode, which I think we have been in between COVID and the strike, to actually like I hate giving yourself permission, but it is kind of giving yourself permission to thrive, to like, you know, and it's kind of like, what is the fear? Oh, I'm going to disappoint myself. Like, I hoped for too much and it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Sure, that is painful, but like, you know, and I think also sometimes keeping goals like private.
I was honored to be asked, happy to be your first guest. And like, I didn't even know that, but like, I really was like thinking about, you know, I was thinking this morning, I did a little journaling before I came. And one of the things, that came up for me was I had something I was really excited. I always trust my body, like what makes my tail wag, you know? And like, there was something I was really excited a few months ago and I shared it with like a like a dream popper. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, and it is be careful.
Yes.
Like somebody that you, they pop your balloon. They just pop your, even if it's like you're not.
Even if it's a look. You tell someone, this is what I want. Yeah. And they go.
Yeah, I got like
and you see like a disbelief or like a nugget of doubt and it can get you.
I had and I don't think it was intentional, but I was really, really excited about something and I shared something with them and they didn't even respond. And it was like, I played something for them. It was just like.
Hate that.
And
hate
I have to say, if I'm really coming clean here, I've been working on it. But like, and I don't want to be able to hand my power over that easily, but like the magic around it kind of like went out the window and I want to be able to get it. I want to be able to get it back.
Protect your magic.
That's 100%.
And sometimes part of that is keeping cocooning.
Even with friends.
Like, yes, 100% with friends because actually it's sometimes it's fucked up a little bit, but sometimes friends are like the last person you want to share it with.
Yeah.
Because they are used to a version of you.
Right.
That works in your dynamic and your relationship. And it's not malicious.
Yeah.
It's not even evil. It's like their own fears of like, oh my God, are you going to leave me? Are you going to leave me?
Right.
You have this success or something like that. You know what I mean? It's like, it's almost all evil eye is unconscious. You know what I mean? It's like nobody says like, I don't want you to have that. It's just sometimes
that's
people
really
do it.
Well
like,
phrased.
Like natural. But I also think that like, you also gotta be like, you just have to know the people around you.
That's true.
Because
that's
there true, are but people sometimes that you could have told that to who would have been like,
I know.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
So then what do you do when you have it popped? How do you get it back?
I think you could just a rebuilding.
Yeah.
A rebuilding. Like journaling it again, working it up again.
I've been showing up, but I would like, I mean, you know what it is? I do think it is. It's like, I used to, when I was a kid, I've always been an insomniac. So it's like a reverse cycle. So like I've always been, no matter how tired I am, I'm really awake at night. So like I could do like magical projects at night. But I was always almost more of a sprinter, not a marathon person in a creative project. Like if I could sit down in one sitting and
I love that.
Oh, nice. Like, I wish I was like that.
But I think a lot of big things that mean something, they are marathons. And so like to not give up when you're in the nuts after the, say your friend didn't even pop it. Let's just say you just like rolled up your sleeves and you got going and you're like, oh, this is a lot of work. Like to keep going with the, like, I think to keep going with the routine of something that, like, I sold a book. I had a book come out. And the reality, like, writing a book. The fun of selling
the book.
She
wants to write a book.
Imagine.
It is.
Evil eye.
Oh, that's okay. But, okay, that's exciting. You said to the right person.
Yeah, because I'm like.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe the outer world. You
that's what I'm saying.
Do you know what you want to write it about?
But I'm saying.
I literally don't want to talk about it.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, though.
She's all right. I was here to support you.
It's something I'm cocooning. No, and I appreciate you. Okay. And I'll talk about that whenever. And I'm not even saying like I don't want to talk about it on air. But that's also my fears of like, what? I can write a book? We were talking about this the other day. I'm like, how could I write a book? I'm a child. I'm too young to write a book.
Yeah.
No.
Me, baby,
me to write books. No. Yeah, literally. Literally, me, baby.
Okay, my question
plenty of people have
my
books.
Question is, what about the idea of claiming it? Of proclaiming it?
I know. I think you can claim it once you have the deal. Once you seal the deal.
Okay.
And until then,
you have
it's like,
we don't
or
say
sure,
it.
No, whatever. I want to write a book. Sure.
Okay, great.
Maybe I'll put it out there. Sure.
No, say sure. It with more gusto. It's already out there.
Fine.
So say it with gusto. Say it with joy. You don't need to say what it is, but you want to write a book.
Sure.
I think
yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Say it joyfully.
I do want to write a book.
Say it joyfully.
Oh my God. No,
say
I'm in therapy.
It joyfully. You want to write a book?
I want to write a book.
Okay.
I hate you guys.
You're going to write a book. You can write a book. You're going to write a book.
And I think it's going to be so good.
I think it's the daunting. It's the daunting. Every step seems daunting.
Okay. Yeah. So this is what, I've been thinking about, and again, I'm going to come back. My friend always calls me organized chaos. So like, I'm going to come back to that thread.
Okay, great.
But I'm coming back to the one that we started with via email and text, which was the surviving rather than thriving. So when you've been through loss, and by the way, who hasn't in the last 4 years? Do you know what I'm saying?
Everybody's I don't know, one person.
Whether it was even like, I was supposed to, whatever, have my wedding and we're going to get cancer.
Project,
anything,
everything.
Whatever. Whether it was a person or like everyone's playing boards got knocked over and collectively. And I feel like we don't really talk about it. Like there's
we don't talk about it. And it drives me crazy sometimes.
Yeah.
Because I feel like after a certain period of time, everybody just went back to just being like, and we move.
That's right.
And we move.
That's right.
And I'm like, but.
Yeah. And I feel like, I don't know if it was like that with the personal loss. And then like, so you get a little, it's almost, and again, my mom didn't raise a drip. So like, I just kept going, you get on with it. Like, but it's still, there's something, it almost felt like sheer just muscle of like, I want to get on with it. And like, it's like, okay, well, like, I would like to claim here and now that like I have gotten through and like I did survive all of it. And a lot of fun things happened also in the last 4 years. And a lot of the gifts have happened for me and not against me. And I would like to get rid of like the routine of just surviving now. Like, I think I was surviving my parents, surviving COVID, surviving the strike. Like, okay, well, I've been able to like hustle and cover my bills this year. I have been like, I've pivoted. I'm doing what I got to do. Like, and I'm okay.
So now
how do I like stop like putting my turtle shell on and allow, and maybe I can't, maybe for now the shell's going to be there. Cause it's been such a fucking couple of years.
There's that it's like, there,
yeah.
So that it's like, okay.
You want to feel protected.
So that I wonder if it's like on a daily basis of like, okay, I was excited to come, like have an experience with you, fill the well, go to show. I loved going and seeing Sydney's show. Mm-hmm. I've been seeing a lot of different shows of what people are doing. And then like, listen to the little whisper, like, put your phone down, go for a walk, pick up the journal, whatever. What are the little whispers, like, if you're really honest, that you're guided to do, that feel like what's unique to you? Well, it might just be fun, even if it's not logical. Like,
I love this.
You know what I mean? Like, that's a way in for me that's like, well, yeah, I want to be on a series again, and I want to be like, my friend and I wrote a movie and I want to sell it and be in it with her. Like, I want all that. And in the meantime, and like, I'll next indicated action, all of those, like I'll follow through. But like, what's like the fun thing that I can add in? Because I always feel like you polish over here, it shines over there. Like, what's the fun thing that I can make here? That is sort of like the big, big dreams. Like, I do want to be on a series. I do want to do the thing, but like, in the meantime, like, it's fun to do my show at Union Hall, right. And it's fun to like build more of a community in New York and like make my pals in New York. Like just so that you're having a nice, there's no there. Like, if you're happy every day, whether you have everything you want or not.
Totally.
Like, I think that's sort of the.
How do I enjoy my life, but also have it propel me where I want to go?
I think that's the key.
I feel like we are working on that too. Like, we want to have our own show.
Yes.
And hopefully that's going to happen soon. We're working on that. And like, you know, we want to grow this. We want to be able to tour.
Yes.
And say like a Hoes with Feelings tour.
Yes.
I mean, the reason why we came up with this was because we were like, we just would have these like deep conversations. And it would like, we were both in therapy.
Yeah, sure.
And we're both like, these conversations that we're having, like, so it's even sometimes stuff that I'm afraid, like it's stuff I'll probably tell my therapist, but I probably wouldn't tell
But I'm a better friend.
Yeah, I understand that.
She's insane. She goes, I'm a better therapist.
Yeah.
But you something you probably wouldn't tell all of your friends. Yeah. But like, her and I have this relationship where we really can tell each other everything. And so I was like, these conversations we're having, and they're funny. Like, we were making each other laugh, but we were also crying.
Yes.
And I was like, I think other people would like this. I think this would make other people feel comfortable. And like, some of the things I say sometimes, I'm like, the things I feel bad about thinking. They're things that I feel like, okay, like, this makes me very, very crazy.
Yeah.
And her too. And then we wanted a space where we could just say these things. And it is about mental health, because our mental health was cracking.
No, I get
and
that.
And we just wanted to be able to talk about it and laugh at it.
It's one of those, I mean, honestly, like, first of all, it's so, I love that you guys are sharing that with me. And I love, like, that's the origin story. Mm. And, like, it's interesting. I will say, even on, like, the stuff, all the stuff that I sort of felt secretly was, like, the worst about me, or that I was the most ashamed about, or that I didn't want people to see, is actually, I think, has been what, like, makes you relatable. Or, like, and that, so, like, even, you know, I've done this podcast for 7 years, and like, I never, even on when I used to tour doing stand-up, I never talked about my personal life ever on stage. And when I wrote my book proposal, it was like fun about my family, but like not super personal. And what like both of my parents happened to die during bachelor season on Saturdays, and then it airs on Mondays, and I chose to do the recording. I chose to keep going. And so my dad was sick for a long time. That was expected. But my mom just like died making breakfast a year later. Oh, and she was like part of the podcast. But so, and then again, I remember like it had always been sort of fun and silly, but like not super personal. And I was like, there was no way to hide. Like, well, I'm back at my family house with my brother. Like, there was no way to hide what had happened. Mm-hmm. And I was scared that people would be like, I just came here to talk about like Bachelor in Paradise, bitch. Like, I don't want to. But like the listeners actually, like, that's actually what I think has made them incredibly like, everyone's lost. Like, and again, it's not what I led, but I didn't mean for this to happen. But there is this stuff that I thought was like, oh, this is going to drive people away. But it actually made them circle the wagons in a way that's like, well, we're watching you walk through this loss.
They supported and, yeah, you.
And that you're still like, and the act of showing up and like community and fellowship and like sharing things just on. Even like mental wellness, I always felt better at the end of the day having done these things than not, and felt less alone. Like I have a friend in therapy who always says like, my mind is a dangerous neighborhood. I should never go in there alone. Like, like you just can't. Like left alone, the boogeyman can come. But like when I can show up and participate, like that the stuff that we think is the worst about it is actually, to me, is particularly if you're just like a funny, silly person, it's always going to be funny. But that like, that's what's like makes people into human. Like, I think
yes.
And people are like, they're more, I think after everything we've all been through, I think people are more open. It's less scary now.
Yeah.
To hear people talk freely.
And, totally. I mean, that's what we felt. I felt, I think we both felt like that. We were just like, we want to build community and feeling like the feelings that we're feeling like, being in our 30s early.
Very early.
you look good.
What I mean? Yeah. No, literally we do. But, you know, being in our 30s, early 30s, and just like starting to feel like the weight of the world and like family.
Especially with
like
babies and shit.
Yeah.
We're thinking, that was when, you know, we were really cracking.
I
it's like life plans.
I got married.
Yeah.
You know.
It's hard being a woman in your 30s. Like the amount of pressure, the baby of it all, like the amount of outside questions and like, and feeling like,
I mean, I'm at the point now where like, and I know it's not other people's fault, and I'm trying to consciously not say this, but like now when I feel like someone who does not know me that well asks me about babies, I'm like,
you're like, how could you?
No. I'm like, well, I had a miscarriage last year, so maybe I just want to take a minute. I want to take a beat.
Yeah.
And it's kind of mean because I say it because I'm like, you should not be asking me this. Like, have
people have no,
people have no. Filter about it.
Especially, first of all, I'm so sorry. Let me just start with that.
Thank you.
And the amount of people I know who've had miscarriages and the amount of incredibly inappropriate things that are said to all women.
Yeah.
So many crazy things.
And it's like, it is your body. And like, it's just, it is wild what people will say to your face. And it used to throw me every time. And so there is something to be said, I think. I remember just having to come up with like a standard answer of because I would get so like rattled every.
Need to come up with one because right now mine is kind of mean, and I look them right in the eyes.
Are you having a baby?
Like, you're a stranger.
Where's your baby?
Yes,
you
are a fucking business
to me. I just met you.
Yeah,
you find that I'm married, and your first thing you want to say is, "Do you want to have babies? How come we don't have a baby?"
Yeah,
it's not. It's so tone deaf, and like you have no idea what somebody's path
and
is.
And it took me over a year to be able to even say that like this here.
Yeah. I mean, that's the it's a huge grief.
Burst into tears.
Of course.
Burst into tears. It's
awful.
It
was terrible.
Dude.
I burst into tears today because this woman that I used to work with, I saw on her Instagram that she had a baby.
Yeah.
And
I know.
She's older than me.
Yeah.
And no, I was so happy for
her.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. She got her baby.
Her and her husband. Like,
she got her baby.
When she was my boss and I worked for her, and she was such a good person.
Aww.
And her husband is such a good person. And they're so cute. And they were like working on this for so long.
Yeah, they got their
and
baby.
And had so many lows. And then they got their baby. When I tell you, I was literally in the car with my husband, mid-sentence being like, blah, blah, blah.
they got their baby.
And then, because I don't have any makeup with me, I'm coming to do this. I'm in the car. He rolled down the window. He's like, okay, get some air.
Oh my God, you're so cute.
I'm like, I don't want to cry because my makeup, but I'm just so happy for her.
Oh
my
God. Can I just say, I feel like softness is, like, all three of us are badasses. You know what I mean? Obviously. But, like, I feel like the softness is a superpower. Like, I don't ever want to be so hard that I don't burst into tears about something like that. Do you know what
it's
I mean?
Not an
like,
option for either of us.
I wish I had it in me, but
I will burst into tears.
What do you guys struggle with? Like when you started this podcast, like what are the things that you feel like your brain that you didn't want people to know?
So much.
Yeah.
So much.
I have a lot. Yeah. I have a lot.
I had a lot that I was like, you know, it's easy for me to talk about dating. It's easy for me to talk about sex.
Yeah.
It's easy for me to talk about, like, drugs that I've done.
Yeah, because it's not, like, the real inner little monster.
But, like, you know what? Have I ever talked about my grandmother on this podcast? Probably not, because she was my everything.
Yeah.
You know, like, there are things that I do in my life that sometimes or have experienced where I'm like, it just... It's too close.
Yeah.
But I feel like the more I do the podcast, the more things come out.
You got to feel it to heal it, honey.
Yeah. And the one thing I fear with this is that we don't get too silly because I think our heart and our intentions were pure.
Yeah.
And while this is comedy, we are comedians, like, I want us to always still be able to, like, be real and, like, peel back layers.
I think we are always.
Yeah. Everything that I've seen, I've watched a bunch of your clips, and I find that it, I was like, again, I didn't know, you were so funny in my podcast and so real. I can't wait to have you back.
I'm excited.
But, like, but that I really enjoyed. Again, you know, I didn't know what to expect, and it was, like, really nice to see these honest conversations. So, like, that was, like, excited to come do it. I like that.
Are you dating anyone?
I am. I have a boyfriend.
In LA or New York?
New York. I've taken a lover.
Okay.
It's in New York. It's been 16 months, a year and 4 months.
16 months and 2 weeks.
Yeah, I don't know.
47 hours.
I don't know. It's not quite
that.
A year and a half.
Mm-hmm. Right.
A little more than a year.
No, I love that.
Yeah. I was married.
You were married.
I was married. This is like my first post-marriage boyfriend.
How old were you when you got married?
30.
Okay, cool.
30. That's not true. 33.
Well, no one's fact-checking.
Yeah.
33. You know what? It's like...
Is it fun?
It's really fun.
I bet it's so fun.
And it was fun to, again, just like the dreaming big. Like, it was interesting. I think I got pretty much everything that had been on my list of, like, that, you know, it's like my ex was a nice man. I had a tough dad. I don't know if you guys did. Mm. I find usually a lot of entertaining ladies have complicated.
I had a tough mom. Okay. I think most comedians, one parent is cold.
Somebody's a little bit tough.
She's, I don't know what happened here.
Okay, so you and Lauren Lapkus have the two nice parents.
Literally.
There's a few anomalies that are like, wow, huh. So but it was nice. He was a good guy. And so, like, it was good for me to be with a kind person for a long, you know. So that was, like, I think I put
the
it in
purpose.
The win. Yeah, like, it was, like, a good win column. I didn't expect that I wouldn't be married. But, like, I actually, again, do believe that it's for the greater good for everybody. And it's like, okay, well if I do get a redo. Like, if I do get to date again, like, you know, I just...
Oh, so you knew what you were looking for.
Well, I knew it was
I
like...
that.
Well, it was also more like, okay, if I'm... You know, I kind of was in acceptance of... When you're with somebody for a long time, I was sort of in acceptance of, like... He became much more of an indoor cat while we were together. And I don't mind a shy guy, but I didn't realize, like, how much... I would go to things alone or like, again, which it wasn't it just sort of slowly he got more and more introverted and like, which I don't mind, but I wanted somebody that had a little joie de vivre. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like stuff like, okay, if we get a redo, let's just like, these are certain things. And it was interesting, like also coming out of the pandemic and because it all happened during the pandemic of like, so we were also all not quite practiced at like even talking to people coming out. Like we were all like on the pandemic. So it was like, okay, I'm dating for the first time and like really in my adulthood.
Crazy.
Like so and I haven't really been hanging out with people for a while. So like let's just like
I mean, in the beginning when we were starting to some of us were starting to crawl out of our little holes.
Yeah, our little mole holes. Yeah.
I feel like I was like, but I'm not going to lie. I did have people in my building.
Sure.
So I had a community where I lived. But I got married during the pandemic. Aww. I got engaged during the pandemic.
That's nice.
So I actually came out with no more dating. And
she texted me, I'm engaged, ho. And I was like, to who?
So you met during the pandemic? Sudden.
No, we met right like years ago. Okay. No. We've known each other for years.
But they were not dating.
That's so cute.
They got engaged. Or long term.
We weren't like
engaged,
dating so long term when we got engaged.
That's
we
so
just
cute.
Reunited and we're like, we're getting engaged.
That's so cute.
But people thought it was crazy.
I don't think it's crazy. I love it.
Well, 3 years later, I'm like,
Yeah.
I knew what I was talking about.
That's right.
So.
So what was interesting, I had some friends who really liked dating, which was helpful.
I like dating.
I kind of miss it,
is what I was trying to get at.
Well, it was fun to like, so I had friends who were like, just go on a ton of dates. Like, just date everybody. Just go on dates with everybody.
I would have said the same thing
to
you.
To learn about
yourself,
too.
Yeah, she's like, they're like, you just got to practice also, like, what are your outfits? Where do you want to go? Like, see what you like.
Hair, makeup, looks.
Yeah, learn how to eat in front of somebody or have a drink in front of somebody that doesn't totally...
Get you free drinks and free food.
Yeah. Yes. And, like, learn how to just fucking, like, talk to somebody that you don't know that well. Like,
and people be surprised how, like, just because we're comedians and just because we're on stage all the time, it doesn't necessarily translate to every time I meet someone, I'm like,
yeah.
Most of the time I am, but sometimes I'm like,
yeah.
Well, if they're giving nothing.
Yeah.
If they're giving nothing, I'm still going to give what I want to give.
Yeah, 100%.
I really am. If they're giving nothing, as long as they're paying for this date,
depends
I'm going to have a good time.
Depends where we are.
I'm going to have a good
depends
time.
Depends on how good the food is.
It depends on how good the food is. Not even. As long as there's alcohol and you're paying for it and I'm going to eat, like, I'm going to have a fucking
good
time.
Fun, yes.
I'm sorry. I just feel like a lot of dates that I've been on, those guys had a good time.
Of course.
They had a good time.
I think mine had a good time, too. I will say mine had a good time, too.
You had a good time with me. Come on.
Well, that was the other thing. I realized they had a good time, but I was like, I'm aware they're having a good time. I had a good time because
I'm making it fun.
But I was aware that I went out with 20 people in like 8 months. And then I'm like, okay, I'm going to delete the app. Like I just was like, I did it. Like,
so wait, question. Were you dating in LA
or
New York?
LA.
LA.
But I did a few New York when I was working here. So I preferred the dating here. I've always preferred dating here.
Okay.
So,
yeah, because LA men are. Yeah.
Oh, no.
I don't know them because you know what? I don't think, have I ever been there single?
I could not see myself dating any man that I know in LA.
But I didn't.
The girls,
they did not really resonate with me.
I would be a lesbian
in
LA
when I went
for
there.
Sure.
I have to tell you, same. Same, same, same. So
they're cute, though, but there's something about them.
They're cute. They all have headshots.
We have headshots.
But I'm saying,
that's what I was just going to say.
But they can all be like one set of headshots.
That's what I'm saying.
Do you know what I mean? Unless they're like thriving, unless they're already thriving. Like, I didn't want aspiring blank. Like, do you know?
I love that.
Just like, do what, like, I don't care what you're doing. You don't have to be the fanciest person in the world, but just like what you're doing.
Yeah. And be doing it.
Just be doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And so what was interesting was going on dates too and also realizing how many guys. I didn't have any like stand up pictures up there, and I wouldn't lead with that like in the apps, but like
a whole nightmare.
No, but then they would know, and then every guy secretly was like
wants to do stand up,
and I'm like, well, but it's like you're a lawyer, you know what I mean? It's like there's no point.
I don't know. I'm always cracking the guys up at the office.
My friend, they all want to be stand up.
I don't know. I've always thought I could do it.
It's like
if
every
you do
guy.
It, I could do it.
Oh my god! It's like there's no point of entry.
You're actually really inspiring me.
Then just go do an open mic. Yeah. Like you just don't have the balls to do it. Just go do it.
Or they've been to the open mic.
Yeah.
My friend went on a date and the girl was really nice. And my friend was like, "Yeah, she's cute." Blah blah blah. And then the ball, you know, she got a good job. She working tech. Blah blah blah.
Yeah.
The ball drops. Oh, you know, I go to open mics.
I
haven't gone up or anything.
I can't.
But every time I watch them, I think, oh, wow, I could do that.
I can't.
And my friend was just like,
my coochie
dried up.
Yeah.
My coochie dried up, and I just couldn't.
That's 100%.
Because it's like,
brutal.
You're not even doing it. You're just telling me that you like doing it.
I know. And then I feel like it's like.
It's like, if I can get up and do it, then you can get up and do it. Because it's scary for everybody.
It's scary for everybody.
Which is not to say you can't be an aspiring whatever and date.
No.
Obviously. It's just not your ideal. If we're thinking big.
Well, that was the other thing. It was like, I want. I wanted to be with somebody that was excited about their life, and it didn't have to be fancy, but or at least had hobbies or things that they like, that they felt fulfilled. Like, look, we're all have things that we have goals. We all there's always a thinking bigger, but like that at least wanting what you have where you're at a little bit, like not like someday I'll be okay. It's like and also like, and I want to have what you have. I want to be you. Like that was like. So it was interesting deleting the apps, and then because like the world was opening up.
Is there less of that in New York? I feel. I feel like there is.
No, no. Oh no. Really? I went out with a baseball player. No, no, no. I went out with everybody.
Name names.
The baseball player wanted to be a comedian.
All of them. They all went professional. All of them.
MLB. What are we talking?
He was minor league, but he was but he was minor league.
He's getting called up.
Yeah, he's like a ball. Yeah. Like and like it's like, isn't that cool? And like that's cool. You're doing it. Like you are paid. Like.
You're a paid athlete. And is that enough?
And he wants to be stand-up. I'm like, dude.
That's self-sabotage.
Yeah.
That's truly self-sabotage. I think some of these men, it's just like they don't know how to like process when of, I would say that not even all of these guys want to like think that in their own private time. And then once it's in front of their face, they're like, wait a minute, me too. You know what I mean? It's like an insecurity
that manifests
in real time.
And I wouldn't really talk about it. I wouldn't bring it, but it was like, there's
what, they Google you.
Yeah, there was something they kind Googled of, you. They Google. They don't
Which
look
good. Which is fair, but still.
What, away from these guys and away from dating.
Yeah, away.
What, like, if you could just sort of blue sky think, if you could, like, dream as big, like, what would be on, like, your top five list of, like, dreaming big?
I'm going to crawl in a hole, this question.
We can all answer them.
Top five.
We can do professional and then personal. How's that?
Can they all be in the five? I can't think of five professional and five
You
personal.
Go first.
Okay, I want to sell the movie that I wrote with Lauren Lapkus, and I want both of us to star in it, and I want it to be a hit. I want it to be like a big hit.
Okay, and I want you to cast me and Melissa in some bit roles.
Yeah. Yes! Thank
you. We'll be whoever.
Yeah, we'll be whoever.
Baristas. I want to be a regular on a cool series, ideally that films in New York, but I want like a fun, juicy part on a cool series, and I'm going to be a regular. I'd like to have a podcast that's maybe even outside of the Bachelor thing where that's big enough that I could tour easily with it. And like, 'cause I do find that the audiences are so lovely from podcasts that like, that if there was something that, because unfortunately, The Bachelor is so specific that like that I could tour with it and do like a live show. I'd love to do a Broadway play, and I'd like to have a design show where I design things and get like my own line at like Target of like wallpaper designs and shit like that, so I can make
like
that money.
Decor.
Yeah, I like doing design stuff.
Okay.
And I'd like to write another book that's not a bestseller.
Okay, you gave me some ideas.
Okay.
And I have my own ideas.
Okay, let's hear it. Go!
Okay, so I want to be casted in a musical. It could be a play.
Here for it.
It could be stage or
movie.
Okay. Or TV. Mm-hmm. Anything musical related. Mm-hmm.
Do you love to sing?
I love to sing.
Wait, how we met.
Yeah, that's true. Melissa wrote a musical called, Melissa and our friend Marsha wrote a musical called Handmaid's Tale, the Musical Comedy.
Yeah.
And I was in it, and that's how we met.
Okay, I just made me think of one more thing. I'm going to add at the end.
Okay, I got to add it.
This is good.
Personal, I want to have one little teeny tiny baby.
Okay.
Just one teeny tiny baby.
Okay.
The third one, I want to... Career-wise, I also want to be casted in a juicy part in a series.
Yes, right? And so it shall regular. Be, honey.
I want to do another movie, and I want this time for me to have more input in the role. Although
nice.
I will say the last one I did, they did let me talk a little bit more.
I like that.
Give up with my own ideas, but like, I don't know. I want to have more input.
Okay.
And then the last one is that I want this podcast to blow up.
Yeah.
And build community and be able to tour as well.
Okay, so great. I love that. You can add on at the end too.
Okay, if I think of something.
Okay. You're up, Melissa.
Oh my God. Okay, first goal, I want to feel not cringe when I do this. And that is tough for me.
Okay.
But I do, ditto to this podcast, yes. Mm-hmm. I do just want like a community of people that we can
a community of bad bitches that cry. Yes. Bad bitches that cry.
Yes. Well, yeah, you found one right here.
We love that. We love that. Yeah, I want to get some stuff made that I've written, being in all of that. I do want to write a book. Okay.
Yes. God. I'm so glad.
Okay. Whatever.
I can't wait to read it.
You're so sweet. I want a boat. I really want a lot of wealthy things. Okay. I want to be.
You want a boat.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I want a lifestyle. I really want a lifestyle.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I literally just like, I actually, to be quite honest, really do love my life. I want everything to just level up.
Yeah, water, I want to be able rising.
Do all of it on a bigger scale.
Yeah.
All right. Here's my add-on. The thing that I told my friend about that got a little bit popped was I'd written a movie with my friend a couple years ago, and I had a vision of turning it into a musical. And I played a song for her. That's when I want to like finish it. I want to stage it. I want it to be a hit. And then the personal, just more and more feeling of community, I think, like, since losing my parents and stuff like, I think I want, which has been really nice that this fall in New York, because I'm from the East Coast, of, like, the feeling of home in my bones has, like, happened more and more the last few months. It's, like, the equivalent of, like, the bad bitch community that cries, like, whether that's the creative, like the fun comedy version, but also my family and friends and like dating, whether it's, you know, who knows with this like whatever, but like that I'm with like for the right for everybody involved that feels like cozy and fun and like adventurous and to stay curious out in the world, like curious about new places, curious getting to know people, curious about like, I just want to stay curious about what everybody else is doing.
You will. You know what? That's so in your funny. Nature.
Yeah.
That is so much easier for me to say like how I want to feel versus the specific goals.
That's good.
Because I feel like it's easy, bubble popping, but I'm literally like not, everybody, you know what I mean? I feel like I'm blocking evil eye already. But if I say like, I want to feel exhilarated, excited about a project.
Yeah.
I want to feel also thinking supported.
Big about how you want to feel. Right.
But I'm just saying, I think it's easier for me to do that than say specific goals.
Then do that.
Then
on national podcast.
Well, I do think like the so feeling, angry, like when I think about the happiest I've ever been, it's not the stuff. It's like, it is the feeling of like,
100%.
I love making, which is why I do like doing stand-up, but I like hosting extravaganzas where I can have a community where, like, I can.
Where the audience comes to you because they to see you specifically.
But then other people can perform. But then
I thought you were talking about like hosting, like people come to your house. I was like, I love.
Well, I like doing that too. I like doing a party.
Of course.
I think, but like that, like creating like shows or whatever where like you could thrive and you could thrive. I like creating like a big event where everybody gets a turn.
Orchestrating.
Yeah, I like producing and putting on and creating like the whole situation where everybody gets a chance to shine. I like doing that. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Creating things. I want to be a showrunner on a show that I'm on. I want to create, I want to be a showrunner.
I think you should be.
And like, and to give like you a fun part, give you like things that people.
Was Issa Rae the showrunner for Insecure?
Yeah.
Sure. Like that. Like that is the dream.
That's the dream.
Mm.
Yeah, like where she made it. Her friends all like, you know what I mean?
Got to be in it.
Everybody who got to be on it.
Directed it.
Yeah.
It was so good. And I just love how she built community around that
That's
show.
That's right. That's right.
Like, it was like a whole thing. The last season ever, I think it was still during the pandemic. I know it was still during the pandemic that it aired because Sydney was doing this online show. I don't know if you ever saw it, but it was called Sid Can Cook.
Okay.
And we would do it on Sunday nights. And so we would do Sid Can Cook. I was like, she called me her sous chef, but I was a chef.
Yeah.
That, if there's any show that should have been sold, it was Sid Can Cook.
It was a ridiculous show where she like interviewed people on Instagram Live, but we set it up in the kitchen. She had recipes. She took like, and she would be like, okay, I'm cooking this, but like I would be in the back like pounding Prosecco on an edible.
Yeah.
Trying to cook, because I can cook, but it was a lot of pressure, so I needed to.
Yeah.
So that after that, we would go and watch Insecure, and it would be like, after Insecure was done, we would like be on the phone with our other friends talking about the episode.
The community.
That kind,
the feeling of community, that's, I think, I mean, to me, that's what podcast is. That's like...
100%.
Like, I've never asked the numbers for my podcast because I don't want to know. I just,
you know, I'm checking those every day.
Do you?
She is. Of course. She want to know.
You want to know.
But I think you're on a different scale,
Arden,
than us.
I think I'm a lot more neurotic than you are.
Absolutely.
I'm pretty bananas in a different way.
Maybe.
But I also find that like I can use, there's all sorts of things I can use against myself. So I have to make sure that I don't weaponize something that if I can just do it from a place of joy, that I know if I do it from a place of joy, like it has grown. I know it has grown.
I'm like that. Yeah. That's why I don't want to know the numbers either.
Yeah, I don't want to know.
She tells me sometimes, but I'm like.
Because it can also, it's almost like if I look long enough online, I'll find out something mean about, like if you're looking to feel bad, you can.
Yeah.
So I have to really try to protect the innocence of why am I doing this?
Yeah.
Oh, that's really sweet.
But I don't know that it's savvy, but like...
No,
I think it's savvy, but because you know what you can handle and you're doing what you can handle.
Yeah.
I think that's why I don't want to know about the numbers yet
I
either,
know myself.
Just because I feel like, I believe in what we're doing so much that I'm like, if we just keep doing it,
that's
it will ring true.
100%.
It will. I
so
agree
that's
with
why
you.
I'm like, let's just take our time with it and do it right.
To
and
me, that's like, almost like asking for the friend to pop my balloon of like, oh, I thought it was going to be this, whatever the number is. To me, it's like, which has also been fun coming to New York this fall. A lot of the ways that I've made my community in LA, weirdly, has been this podcast. So it's been fun to come here and like, you know, having you and Jordan on like was really fun and getting to know you and being here. And then like you're like that's a way to basically, when you have a podcast, be like, do you want to come play with my toys? Like, here's, you know what I mean?
Oh,
and
that's cute.
And but like you're, you know, you guys were so organized. You sent me a list of great topics. Like, you know, like that's
Virgos.
The equivalent. I love winter birthday.
What are you?
Sagittarius, but raised by Virgos. Everybody's
my
a Virgo.
Mom's a Sag.
Virgo.
Yeah. Your mom's a Virgo?
Still.
That's amazing because
I love
your
a Virgo.
Mom with all of that. Well, I guess that's Virgo in its own way.
She was organized.
That almost sounds cancer to me when she's like, protect your magic and all of this.
No,
like,
I mean, well, I'm a Virgo and I feel like we also. I, mean,
I love
also
Virgo.
Virgo.
Virgos are no nonsense.
Magic. Aren't you the girl? What were you doing on Zoom? Getting healed?
What?
What's the thing that you're doing where they like read you and then
oh,
they tell you?
Oh, yeah. I'm paying a lot of different women a lot of money to do different energetic things to me. Yeah.
Okay, that's what I'm like.
Okay. Yeah. When's your birthday?
Yeah.
I'm
doing a lot
September
of that.
Or August?
We're both September.
September.
We're 5 days apart.
What's the date?
14th,
15th,
19th.
Love. I love a Virgo.
Yeah.
Love a Virgo.
It's a tough card.
I think Virgos can be organized, but also we can be very fanciful.
Well, you know what? Okay. Yeah. Look at me in this whole process. You are an anomaly sometimes in different things. Like, I'm like, don't speak it aloud. Some things get ruined. Perfectionist, anal, neurotic.
Yeah.
Whatever.
But
like,
she had the two good parents. I'm going to guess we both had somebody that.
But if
I think we both had somebody that's like not quite safe to shine, so you got to protect.
If there was someone popping my balloons, she was very close to home.
I'm going
to
guess that you come by it honestly.
1,000,000%.
Same.
But when, and you know, I know you had another parent who's different, but I think what I'm going to take from this whole thing was how your mom was, because that's for me, that's my wound.
Yeah.
And that to me is the most beautiful thing in the world.
I mean,
your mom in that way.
No, she was like, Mary Poppins. She was
so
Tinkerbell. She was.
And my dad was like that a little bit as well.
Yeah, she was. She truly. Okay, so what I was saying, which I forgot to add, circling back, I feel like I have like the best version of ADHD.
Right? No, bring it back.
We're big
circle back.
We're big circle
back. So I wrote the book. The book was a journey, but like it had been.
And this is a personal memoir.
This is a
type
personal
thing?
Memoir okay. type thing, and it had been out in various versions with various publishers, whatever. I got the email So my mom literally died making breakfast. There was like toast in the toaster, tea in the teacup when we got there. The town is 3,000 people. There's a general store, no stoplights. We're driving up to the funeral. So it's like a 4-minute drive in the town commons. Like, it's that small. It's literally from like the 1200s. It's like I get an email that morning driving to the funeral. Hope you're having a really great week.
Yes, thank you.
We'd love to. We want to do the book with you. I sold the book driving to her funeral. And she was barely in the proposal. And I was like, okay, well, I have to tell you something's happened. And I think it's going to be a different book. And I actually, in a weird way, was concerned that it was going to make it a bummer. But there was no way that I could write it and not.
It became her book.
Like, my favorite person just died. So I actually feel like not only did it make it a better book, but I actually felt it made it a more optimistic book because of everybody that was telling me all the stuff that she said to them. So I felt like I was also giving everybody, like, here's this unusual upbringing that my parents married on a dare. They weren't dating. They stayed married till the end. And so, like
on a dare?
On a dare.
Okay. So like, you were just giving us nuggets as we have to go.
Yeah. So, like, the gift of, like, this stuff,
who dared them?
They dared each other. Was to get vacation time.
I love it.
But I feel like, the stuff that I was concerned that nobody was going to want to read this book, that they would just want light and fun, that it would be a bummer. Sure. And what people liked about the book, and again, that you can be real and it can still be fun and optimistic, even if you have had life happen and real things. You're still here being fun, being cute, having wine.
It's
like,
honestly better that way.
That's life.
All of comedy is better that
life.
Way.
Yeah. That's life.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess the takeaway.
Yeah.
I guess dreaming big is also maybe, I'm going to say to myself, I don't have to feel fully 100% comfortable. Like, okay, I'm like, I've been through all this shit. I'm ready again. I feel, it's like, no, like, don't fight where you're at. Grow where you're planted. What's the magic that wants to come out of you authentically now? You know what I mean? Like, what's the, that's coming from all
Don't fight
the,
where you're at. Grow where you're planted.
Yeah, like, what's in the soil? What's all the stuff in the soil that's been put in there to, like, rebirth of, like, rather than fight all this shit that's happened or the thing, like, because, again, our point of view is always funny. We are wired silly. Yeah. So, like, so don't fight the real soil that it can be mean. I'm like that I'm literally going through my shirt, but like that it can be, I guess dreaming big is like, how can I incorporate what's unique to us or me or you or like, and like have the heart and the entertainment.
Fucking word.
Right? Isn't that it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what this whole, and like here's a version of it is you've already done it. Like it's already, it's already happening. It's already manifesting. Here we are. Right?
And here I am expanding beyond my comfort zone, talking about my goals. I love it. Arden, I feel like you are actually a life coach in disguise. In disguise of a comedian.
This is my test.
You know, we tried to bring you in
Don't
for an interview.
Don't send us an invoice, bitch.
Do not bill us. Do not bill us.
I got to say it, but I needed it too.
Okay, good. I'm glad you got something out of it as well.
I was feeling log-jammed. I needed it too. I was feeling a little bit like, a little jammed up.
Well, the industry can
so
do that.
Same
thing. Thank you so much.
Cheers. I'll see you Friday.
See you Friday, baby.
I'll see you Friday, and then I'll see
you
next
Friday. Okay, Connor, we're good.